You didn't receive this message by chance. Someone gave this to you because they sincerely care about you. We'd like to talk to you about hope for your marriage. So before we get started, if you're listening to this for the first time and you're by yourself, please take a moment to pause and invite your spouse to join you. It's so important for both of you to listen to this together if possible. But if you can't, don't let that stop you from listening. We commend you for taking the time to listen. It shows a certain level of maturity and that you desire to not give up. And we believe as you take this time to invest in your marriage, you'll be rewarded. Marriage is such an important institution and it's under attack today. The more Jody and I talk to couples about marriage, the more we get a very real sense that a lot of couples are having struggles in this area. As you're listening, if you hear something that sounds a lot like your situation, maybe an area where you've missed it in the past, don't feel ashamed. Everyone makes mistakes, and condemnation won't do us or anyone else any good. In fact, the Bible tells us in Romans chapter 8, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. In other words, if you've made some mistakes in your marriage in the past, even if you've been divorced, that's okay. If there's been a mess up, we're not doomed forever. We can ask for forgiveness and turn from our old ways. And then we don't look back. We believe in the power of the blood of Jesus. We believe in God's forgiveness and His cleansing power. So don't allow those thoughts from the enemy to make us think that we can't be covenant keepers. We can be. We just have to make up our minds and say, from this day forward, we are not going to break marriage vows. Many people have made mistakes in the past, but we're not talking about the past. We're talking about now and going forward. We are going to do it God's way from now on. And Jody and I cannot tell you that we have it all figured out when it comes to marriage, but we can tell you that we are in a lot better shape than we were in when we first got married 21 years ago. And we're so thankful to God and His instruction for that. So we put this message together to let you know what has worked for us and what has produced some positive results in our marriage. As you listen today to what God has to say about your marriage, we are expecting your marriage to grow and improve. No matter what situation you're in today, even if it seems hopeless, we want you to understand that there is hope. Even when things appear impossible, with God, all things are possible.
Our God is a God of restoration, and He can restore your marriage. His very design behind the gospel of Jesus Christ is restoration. By sending Jesus Christ, God planned restoration at every level and in every dimension of the human experience. The dictionary defines restoring as bringing a thing back to a former original state. But when we look in the Bible at the way God restores things, there is always improvement from the original state. An easy example to remember of this is when God restored Job after the trials he endured. Most people only focus on Job's trials, but after God restored him, Job had 2 times more than he originally had. In Psalm 66:12, it says, "You have caused men to ride over our heads. We went through fire and through water. But you brought us out to rich fulfillment." In the scripture, we can see that when God restores something, He makes it better than it ever was before. He won't just restore our marriages to what they used to be, but God tells us in His word that He will bring us out to rich fulfillment and make our marriages better than they ever were.
Now, if you're experiencing some marriage difficulty, we don't want you to feel condemned or guilty, and we certainly don't want you to feel alone. The Bible actually tells us that those who get married won't just have a trouble-free relationship. In 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 28, it says, "But even if you do marry, you have not sinned, and if a virgin marries, she has not sinned. Nevertheless, such will have trouble in the flesh, but I would spare you." The Bible says that such would have trouble in the flesh. And the such that he's talking about there are those people who get married, and that's us. And we all have flesh, and as much as we'd prefer not to, we're going to have trouble with it as long as we have it. But also notice that we're told that even though we may have marriage troubles, God said that He would like to spare us all of the pain and the damage and the cruelty. As people of God and as followers of Jesus, we don't have to have the trouble that other people do. We don't have to have the knockdown, drag out, cuss out, furniture breaking foolishness. And we don't have to have the protracted Cold War that so many have. Believe me, we've been there, but it doesn't have to be that way. As children of God, if we follow what His Word instructs, we can come out of the most difficult of situations victoriously.
Now, Dino and I want to share three very important points to help you make it through marriage trouble. Faith, truth, and love. Faith says all things are possible to him that believes. And Mark 9:23 tells us, Jesus said to him, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. The truth will make you free. In John 8:32 it says, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And number three, love never fails. In 1 Corinthians 13:8 says, love never fails. But whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. So in point one, all things are possible to him who believes. Our marriages may not look the way we want them to right now, but we can have faith in God. Jesus said, don't doubt in your heart because the greater one is in us. Be encouraged today and know that God is bigger than any situation we can ever go through. In Hebrews 11:1, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things unseen. So as people of faith, we can say, I'm not moved by what I see or what I feel, but I move by what I believe and by what God says about my situation. As believers in Jesus Christ, He always gives us hope. He gave us the victory so we never have to say there is no hope. We never have to say that we're going under. Even if our marriages have been pitiful, God can turn them around. You know, Dino and I have seen a lot of Christians use their faith for finances, healing, or deliverance, yet totally forget to apply their faith to their marriage. Here's an example. Have you ever noticed how quickly the enemy will bring it to your mind to quit, to give up? We start saying, you want me to go? I'll just quit. I don't love you anymore. It doesn't take much to quit, and so many Christians today are giving up on their marriages. They think it's easier to move on to the next spouse, which is the world's way of doing marriage. Yet when they quit and move on to the next person, they find out quickly that the new person has faults and has flesh too. Yet they still have their own flesh to deal with, which begins the marriage trouble all over again. Each one of us should remove quit from our vocabulary. God's word says that we are overcomers. Nothing is impossible for God. So don't quit, don't give up, for God tells us that all things are possible to him that believes.
We can believe that God can restore our marriages. We aren't moved by what we see, hear, or feel. So have it settled in our hearts that God is good, God is just, and He never fails us. You see, a person of faith says, somehow we will get past this. We can have faith that God will show up on the scene, and when the dust clears, our marriage will be stronger. Faith words say, we're coming out of this. And I can believe by faith that my spouse loves me, and I love them regardless of how I feel or regardless of how we act. You know, when things get tough, Jody and I like to stand on this verse. It's 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14, and it says, now thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ, and through us diffuses the fragrance of His knowledge in every place. Always means always. Thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ. Now point number two is the truth will make you free. In John chapter 8, verse 31 and 32, it says, then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free.
God's word contains the truth, and its contents are priceless. Listen to the value of the wisdom it contains in Proverbs 2, verse 6 through 11. It says, "For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk uprightly. He guards the paths of justice and preserves the way of his saints. Then you will understand righteousness and justice, equity and every good path. When wisdom enters your heart and knowledge is pleasant to your soul, discretion will preserve you, understanding will keep you." When we know the will of God, which is found in his word, it will help to preserve us, keep us, direct us, and guide us. The psalmist tells the Lord in Psalm 119:105, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." Without the light of the word of God shining in our hearts and minds, we really don't know where we are going or what we are doing or how to do life together in our marriages. Without the instruction of God's will for our marriages, we will have the same results as the world does. It is our job to meditate on the Word, dig deeply into it, and feed upon it. We should train ourselves to ask this question concerning any situation we come across. What does God's Word have to say about this? We should put the answer to that question first in whatever may come up in our marriages or any life situation. God's Word is truth, and the truth sets us free. Let's break it down into two sub-areas: knowing the truth about the enemy's devices against your marriage and knowing the truth about what God has to say about marriage.
The truth is, we do have an enemy, the devil, and he's out to divide us and our spouses. In 1 Peter 5, verse 8, we're told, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour." Since the beginning of creation, the devil's been out to divide. Look back into the creation story and we can see the impact of the devil and sin and the division that came as the result of the fall. He divided Adam and Eve by lying. The enemy's plan for marriage is division, and he's always looking for ways to drive division between spouses every day. And if he can divide us long enough, he can destroy our marriages, our families, our houses, and even our ministries. If you look in Matthew 12, verse 25, Jesus said, "Every city or house divided against itself cannot stand." If you've been married for more than a couple days, you can probably think of a time when you allowed the enemy to divide you and your spouse. But just think about it for a second. Why would we side with the devil against our spouse? It makes no sense. No sense at all. So don't do it. The devil is our enemy and not our spouse. You and your spouse are on the same team. Now, what does God say about our marriages?
The truth in God's word says that his plans for us are good and for our marriages. His intent is always good. In Jeremiah 29:11, God tells us, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope." In the Garden of Eden, we can see God's original intent for the first couple was that they would rule over the earth as complete partners, or what Dino and I call the same team. They were one flesh and mutually shared everything in every way. God told them to be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, and have dominion over every living creature on the earth. Now, according to God's word, we can have good marriages. We can have a taste of heaven on earth in our marriages. It's not just the gold streets that make heaven what it is. It's the very atmosphere of love, peace, and joy. Jesus taught us to pray that thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. God's will for our marriages is heaven on earth, full of love, peace, and joy.
And finally, point number 3, love never fails. In John chapter 13 and verse 34, Jesus himself says, "A new commandment I give you, love one another as I have loved you." Jesus gave us the new commandment to love one another as he loved us. And that's how people will know that we are his disciples. But before we can love like Christ loved us, we have to understand what love really is. You know, love has been twisted and altered by the world. And it's a word that's just thrown around in our society, like I love Kool-Aid, or I love pizza, or I love my car. But that's not really what love is. God is love. And that is way different than how you enjoy something to eat or how you feel about a material object. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 8 says, "The one who does not love does not know God, for God is love." You see, knowing God is knowing love. And we also know that faith works by love if we read Galatians chapter 5, verse 6.
If the enemy can keep us mixed up about the true meaning of love, he can keep us away from God and stop our faith from working. This ties in directly with point number one, using our faith for our marriage. Without love, faith doesn't work. Now, we can't talk about love without reading the love chapter in the Bible, 1 Corinthians 13. "Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith, so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing." We can quote the entire Bible. We can have mountain-moving faith. We can give up everything, but if we miss it in love, we have missed it totally. We can be flowing all the gifts of the Spirit, but it won't do any good if we are not walking in love.
Now, continuing on in verse 4, it says, "Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things." In other translations, it says, "Love never gets tired of waiting, never quits, is patient." So don't give up. Don't quit. A lot of people don't receive a blessing because they believe like a blazing fire for 3 months and then they just quit. But that just gets the same result as not believing at all. Love is not jealous, greedy. It doesn't have a high opinion of itself. It has no pride. It's not conceited. Love does not want to be seen or acknowledged. You and your spouse are a team. See, God put us together with our spouses, and we should appreciate each other and not fear being outshined by each other. Love does not behave unmannerly or indecently. It doesn't treat others undignified. It makes no thought for itself, and it does not insist on getting its own way. Love is not quickly or easily made angry, and it is not irritable or resentful.
Continuing on in verse 8, "Love never fails, but whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part will be done away. When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know just as I also am known. And now abide faith, hope, love, these three. But the greatest of these is love."
So everybody gets the point, right? Love is the most important thing. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." Love gives and asks for nothing in return. And our love should not be a response to our spouse's love. If we are to love the way Christ loved us, we love unconditionally. Love's a choice. Some people say, "You love me and then I'll love you." Or, "How do you expect me to love you when you're not showing love to me?" You may have heard others say, "Well, we just fell out of love." No, not really. They just chose to stop loving. Can you imagine waiting for God to love us before we loved him? but he loved us even when we were against him.
Now, God's demonstration of his love for us is amazing. In Romans 5:8 says, God demonstrates his own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And in Luke 6:32 says, if you love those that love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. Even if our spouse is mistreating us, we are still supposed to respond in love. God says, love our enemies. Do good to those who hate us. Bless those who curse us and mistreat us. Then your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, because he is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. Now remember, God is love. God is not a feeling. Our feelings are in a constant state of change. If we base our life on feelings and not on God's word, we will set ourselves up for failure in our marriages. As believers in Jesus Christ, we should not base our lives on our feelings, but learn how to change our feelings to how they should be by knowing and doing God's word.
Now, is it possible? Can we love the unlovable? Think about this. So our spouse does something to us to start those feelings inside us, and it causes them to increase. Our flesh is rising up. At that moment, we have a choice to make. Am I going to respond in love, or am I going to act on my feelings? Is it possible to respond in love when our spouse is ungrateful, mean, disrespectful, angry, complaining? We have hope that we can get through it. We can do this. 2 Corinthians 5:14 says, for the love of Christ constrains us. That verse was freeing to me. And when we get this, I believe it'll be freeing to all of those listening too. You know, I've had times where my flesh and feelings rose up so strong that I didn't know if I could control myself. Maybe you have too. But the greater one is in us, and the love of Jesus is shed abroad in our hearts. We can choose to love because of him. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us.
Now in closing, Dino and I want to encourage you to choose faith, truth, and love. Faith that all things are possible to him that believes. Truth, the truth will make you free. And love, love never fails. Remember, if you have made some mistakes in your marriage, even if you've been divorced, it's okay. If we messed up, we are not doomed forever. We can't go back and change the past, but we can ask God and others for forgiveness. We can turn from our old ways and move ahead without looking back. We believe in the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. We believe in God's forgiveness and his restoring power. In the past, we have all made mistakes in the area of marriage, but we are not talking about the past. We are talking about right now and going forward. We can make the decision to keep our marriage vows and to do it God's way from now on. So we encourage you to put trouble behind you and focus on faith, truth, and love in your marriage and in your home. It's not just the gold streets that make heaven what it is. It's the very atmosphere of love, peace, and joy. We can have a taste of days of heaven on earth in our marriages. We can have peaceful homes. We can have children that are secure knowing that mom and dad are staying together no matter what trials come their way. They won't give up on their marriage. Remember, God is a God of restoration, and he can restore your marriage no matter what it looks like today. God's word is truth, and his will for your marriage is good. In Psalm 66:12, you have caused men to ride over our heads. We went through fire and through water, but you brought us out to rich fulfillment. And when God restores, he makes it better than it was before. He won't just restore your marriage to wholeness. He will make your marriage better than it ever was. God is with us through the fire, through the water, and he promises to bring us out, to rich fulfillment. Don't give up. Keep seeking God and his will for your marriage and expect a miracle today. Dino and I would like to take a moment to pray for your marriage.
Heavenly Father, we just lift up the marriage of whoever's listening right now to you, Lord. God, we just thank you so much for your example of faith, Jesus, that all things are possible to him who believes. And God, that you give us your truth, and knowing your truth will make us free. And Lord, most of all, we thank you for showing us how to love. And God, we just pray that husbands and wives would be able to love the way you loved us, Lord Jesus, and that we can experience literal days of heaven on earth in our marriages with patience and kindness and joy and peace and all the fruits of the Spirit. We just give you the praise and honor and the glory for it right now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
This message has been brought to you by Family Face Ministries. For more information on restoring the face of the family, visit our website at familyfaceministries.org.